Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. You made it. I know that, you know, with the hour change, it's kind of a difficult thing, especially as you have kids and other things going on. So congrats. You're here. Take note of those that didn't make it. Laugh at them. Make fun of them. Of course, with them there in the room, please don't do it when they're not here. That's not very nice of you. But you can say, you know, how I made it, you didn't. How come? Didn't set your clock ahead, huh? But anyway, we're going through a series here. And if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. And this is the second part of the message from last week. If you were here last week, then you know. If you're not, I'll just quickly go over it briefly. Last week we talked about following Jesus at a distance. And we looked at Peter and we looked at, you know, the progression of it for him, which we related to ourselves. And the first part was that we found, you know, that he was a little more self-confident than he should be. Confident in himself, which we too can be confident in ourselves. The second thing we learned was his prayerlessness. And again, we look at ourselves and that's a big issue for us, is our prayer life. And the third, which I want to apologize, I don't feel like I articulated correctly, or at least clear enough, but just basically saying that be men and women of the Word, but also men and women of action from the Word. Not be just hearers, but be doers of the Word of God. Now, with, again, Peter, we find now that he's following Jesus at a distance. You see that in Matthew 26, in verse 57. We'll just touch on this quickly. Launch from there. And those who laid hold of Jesus, verse 57, led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Let's pray. Father, we want to be men and women that follow wholeheartedly after you. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us this morning. Help us to be aware of ourselves. Thank you that you're a God who loves us so much that your desire is to commune with us. Lord, help us to acknowledge and recognize these things, even in our own lives. What's keeping us from really fellowshipping with you with the desires that we truly have that are God-given? We just pray, Lord, that we would understand these things and take action in our lives, even this day. So bless this time as we look in your word, and we just pray again, Holy Spirit, have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See, it's always a progression. I mean, it's like the young girl that goes into the store and she doesn't have enough money to purchase the pretty blouse she sees. She sees this pretty blouse and it's beautiful. And yet she looks at the price, it's like, I can't afford this. But then that thought, you know those thoughts that come into your head, those weird thoughts, she says, what? You know, I could just take this. But then the fear comes like, and then the thought, you know, what if I get caught? And then there's anxiety, and there's this feeling of emotion that comes over her. And then she looks around and notices nobody's looking, nobody's watching. It's like, it'd be just a second, just an instant. And then this adrenaline rush as she stuffs it in her purse and notices that nobody sees it. And she just casually walks out of the store and just this rush comes over here like, I got away with it. The further she gets away from that store and she gets in her car and she drives off. And then there's that moment of guilt. I just stole something. And then she'll justify it by saying something like, well, I'll never do that again. I won't do that again. But then the next time she's in the store, she starts remembering the adrenaline rush the satisfaction as she walked out. She doesn't remember the guilt. She just remembers the joy that she had in doing that. She felt adventurous. She felt alive. And that's sin. And that's what happens when we, again, take these steps. Now, understand, I know we're looking at this probably maybe intense, I guess is the word I want to use. But what I'm trying to do is, what I share with you is something of my passion, my own heart. My desire is to know Christ. And I wish I could stand up here and tell you that I do it so well. I don't. I fail. But it doesn't take away from that desire. And sometimes I know the Lord has done this in my life. And maybe that's why I'm up here teaching. Because I analyze things. I emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. And I look at these things and I look at the world and I look at myself. And again, I see the desires there. But I also see the dangers around us. Now we got to be very careful because it's not a matter of coming out of the world. And please don't misunderstand that. It's not pulling ourselves. That's not what we're called to do. We're in the world. We're just not of the world. And so it's really of understanding that call to all of us, to each of us. And we talked about this individually. That Jesus is looking at you and saying, follow me. Follow me. You follow me. Now, there is truth that we have to understand spiritually. That Christ wants to talk in fellowship with each of us. And it's our responsibility to heed that call. But it's also our responsibility to take warning, especially as it's laid out in the Scripture. And Peter will now exemplify what happens when you compromise. What happens when you step out of really your spiritual hedge of protection. Because there's something that we're going to talk about that's instinctive in all of us, that God created us this way. As we look at this, again, there's that argument, well, at least he followed him and didn't run away like the other disciples. But again, remember this. Go back. Let's actually be forward. Go to John 18. Keep your finger in Matthew because we will go back to that. Because John's following him. Look at verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, so did another disciple, John. The disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. John went with Jesus. Where's Peter? Look at verse 16. Peter stood at the door outside. Now we see Peter standing outside, looking, wondering, seeing those inside. Probably warming themselves. You could probably see that. We find ourselves following the Lord at a distance, separating ourselves from the fellowship. We put ourselves in danger of taking that very part of our being, our spirit and our soul that communes with the Lord. And giving back to our basic instincts. And those basic instincts are of self-preservation, passion, pride and self-will and of desire, we become vulnerable. Look at what others are experiencing. In our case, the fun, the fortune, the freedom. Or, like in Peter's case, the warmth. We could see that it stirs up, if you will, a longing in us. See, we are created to enjoy life. Understand, remember we started this whole thing off with following Jesus because I've called you to an abundant life. Abundant with love, abundant with joy, abundant with peace, abundant with fellowship with me and my Father. Abundant. And there's the line. There's the line that should be drawn for all of us. This is the calling that we have. And it's really up to each of us how much do we really truly experience that. When we don't find it in our walk with the Lord, and let's call it that, then is it a walk with the Lord or have we made it again a religion? Because a religion will not satisfy. Because it is about your do's and don'ts. That's not what we are called in Christianity in its truest word form. We're followers of Jesus Christ. And it is a relationship He's called us to. We have been given the Holy Spirit, which we talked about last week briefly, that we can commune with God. And it's up to each of us to take on that mantle and say, yes, God's called me into a deeper life with Him. How much am I willing to go into that? But what happens so many with us is that when God isn't speaking how we think He should be speaking, or He's not moving the way we think He should be moving, what we tend to do then is, because of those basic needs to experience the joy of life, we start looking out at what others are doing, especially in our culture. If this was just eat, find food and shelter, then again, then it's more of trusting God for those provisions daily. But again, if it's not met, then what we do is we look outside that which God has given to us to satisfy what we think is our basic needs. So we see Peter standing out. Now let's continue in verse 16. But Peter stood at the outside. Then the other disciple, John, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. And the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and the officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now Peter isn't standing outside. Now Peter's standing among them, warming himself. Now he's compromising. It's cold. Now he's warming himself with the fire, if you will, of the world. God has given us instincts from creation. Desires and instincts to fellowship, to relate, to love, to procreate, to create, to seek, to explore, to wonder, to learn, to protect, to succeed, to dream, to have passion, to have meaning, to have purpose and worth, to desire. Desire comfort, desire rest, to enjoy, to laugh, to have pleasure, to be intimate with others. When we compromise with the world, they are just, if you will, like fast food. Me at my age, I really can understand and relate to this, because everything I eat, I have to count the cost. I've told myself, and again, you could check this out, in my 60s, which are coming up, my plan is I am going to stay thin and fit as much as I can. But once I stop exercising and I can't do it anymore, my legs just won't take in, I'm just going to give up. Because and understand, I mean, I'm just saying, you know what? I'm too old now. I'm just going to enjoy whatever food. Because that's basically what happens as you get older. You enjoy food. That's pretty much your joy. I'm just going to let it out. Wait, and it's what? I'm passing gas. Well, my wife will make me stay outside if I do that. But again, it's kind of what, you know, what do? To enjoy. You enjoy food. And there's food constantly. But now, I have to count the cost. And really the worst thing for me, and I try to stay away from them, I avoid them, is fast food places. Because there's typically nothing there. Now, they're coming up with different menus, but there's only so much salad you can eat, you know. It just kind of gets old after a while. Salad, right? Now, as my daughter or my wife are pounding down a burger and fries, and I'm eating a salad. It's like, especially my daughter, you know, she's at that age, she can eat anything, and it's okay. Me, I just look at it, and I take one fry, and I go, well, I'm going to pay for that one, but again, if I do eat like that, what typically happens is I become lethargic. It doesn't revitalize. It doesn't give me the nutrients I need. Oh, the fry going down, it's wonderful. The burger I may eat, it's delicious. But ultimately, what happens is after that rush, I pay for it. it doesn't do what it's really intended to do, food. And that's to give me energy, to give me sharpness. It doesn't. And that's the same way that it is with the world. We have these instincts, these desires. And again, a lot of it should be found in, you know, in the people around us, especially the ones God has given to us, our mates, our children. Life itself should be experienced with the understanding of that fellowship we have in Christ, that everything and anything that happens, He's there with us, walking us through these things. That's the fellowship. The questions we have, questions about our kids, the questions about what are we going to do in the future, our plans, our purposes, what's God calling us to do now? All these things are related to our relationship with Christ. But what happens is so many times when things are not happening, we look outside. And then we begin to compromise because we find fulfillment with the boys, if you will. Whether it's at the bar or it's watching the game or it's with the girls going and shopping and spending money and we start gossiping. And see, what we do then is we're compromising. We're warming ourselves, if you will, in the world's fire, because what does the world do? And it's all around us. It tells us the same thing. You're not content. You're not happy with your house. You can get a better one. Look at that piece of junk car you're driving. You can get this brand new one. Are you wearing the latest styles? Are you still in those old styles of the 90s or the 80s or whatever? You can get up to date. Wait a minute. You have last year's iPad? You can get this year's iPad or iPhone. It's constantly bigger, better. And a lot of times all it is they change the color of their colors. But get the new one. The screen gets a little bigger. But it's the same phone. But you gotta have it! Gadgets. Everything about the world is telling you that you're not happy with yourself. Look at the way you look. You can look thinner, trimmer. Your hair color, it's horrible. You need a new hair color. And it's this constant thing of change. And please, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with some of these things in its context. But when we all of a sudden try to grab our self-worth and our desires and our pleasures from just the world, we've sold out. We're compromising. We're missing out. So, again, we see Peter, and he's compromised now. Now, let's go back to Matthew 56, and we'll finish here. Again, look at, he was standing outside, he's standing among them. In 58 says, Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went and sat with his servants to see the end. Or, as Mark puts it, but Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now he's sitting with them, warming himself. Now there's another God-given at creation is our conscience. It's where our senses of right and wrong is. It's our communion with the Lord. Serves the place where His Spirit will warn us, not only about sin in itself, but and to resist evil, but also the dangerous patterns of behavior. Left unchecked in the world of compromise, it begins to its deadly work of desensitizing, until it deadens it enough that we find ourselves quite comfortable in the world. Proverbial frog in the beacon as you turn the heat on the cold water, very low heat as it begins to rise in temperature. The frog doesn't jump out. You've heard the story. The frog basically thinks it's getting warm and then he starts thinking it's like a jacuzzi. This is pretty comfortable. The bubbles may be coming up going, hey, this is all right. This is pretty relaxing. Then what happens is the frog boils. Doesn't jump out. It doesn't sense the warning of the heat. And see, that's where we find ourselves. And remember, let's go back to what we're talking about here. My desire is to follow the Lord, but it's also to understand the things that the Lord has put in place for all of us to be aware of. John basically lays it all out for us, and he says it very clearly to us. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, John is saying this, and John is saying this as an old man. He's saying, hey, look, the passions, the desires of the world, they're gonna fade away. There's only one thing that sustains a life. It's Christ. That's it. Everything else is fake. It's a facade. It's melting away. It's not real. And we say, amen. And we do. We say, amen. And we say, well, that's why I live in the house I live in. That's why the car I drive. Those are good things, if that's what you're doing. But also, there's other things that we do compromise in the world. I'm sitting here as one is preaching to myself. I've had enough. What are we watching? What are the things that now we sit down and we're fine with? We're watching things that shows adultery. It shows really all the perversions of the world. And we sit there and we get our popcorn. And we sit down and we enjoy what we're watching. Or we enjoy the lifestyles that's being portrayed in the reality television shows. Now, is all these wrong? No, that's, again, if I told you that, then what are we doing here? You're alive. I'm not asking you to snip your cable television off. I'm not telling you to do any of these things because I don't know what is going on in your life. Just as you don't know what's going on in my life. But there is one thing that we do understand, each of us. That the reason we come together is to follow Jesus Christ. So again, each of us have to decide, okay, what does that mean for me? Where do I compromise? See, I have learned something. Please hear me. Hear me as an old man. I don't care. Hear me as a fool. Hear me as whatever. Let me tell you something. I deadened the Lord's voice myself. Many wilderness experiences I've experienced through my life have been self-induced. Not all. Many of them. Because I compromise. Learn something. The Lord says, are you going to follow me? Are you for me or are you against me? Are you going to walk beside me or are you going to walk at a distance? Are you going to listen and hear my voice? Or are you just going to embrace the voice of the world and the enemy? The choice will always be yours. I've given you free will. My desire for you is beyond what you can think or even ask. Because see, you don't know who you are. I do. I created you. You're still looking for some adoration from others and yourself. Your own self-worth. I've told you you're worth by dying for you. Now I'm asking you to trust. Follow me. You might not think you're getting anything that you want, but you will find that you are getting everything you need. And see, it really is a process, but it also can be quick surgery. And know this, the Lord is always beckoning us. Come on, let's go. Follow me. That's the power. That is the power of Christ. And that is the power of your faith. God is that real. He's not hiding. We're the ones, if you will, that puts the veil over our face. So we see now that now Peter's in a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous place. Now let's go on. Let's look at verse 69 and see how this turns out. Verse 69, chapter 26. Now Peter sat outside. In the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." Basically, he was saying, "I swear I do not know him." A little later, those who stood by and came and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know this man." Immediately the rooster crowed. Now, don't think that he just started using these cuss words and everything. Basically, what he was saying was this: "May I be struck dead if I am not telling the truth. I do not know this man." Verse 75. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept. Now, think with me what Peter was experiencing here. Again, he was following the Lord at the distance, and really, it probably was out of anxiety, it was out of concern, but out of fear, but also pride. You know, I don't want to deny the Lord. I told him I won't deny him. I won't deny him. Then as he gets closer and closer to the place he shouldn't be, that he denies his Lord, and he can probably hear the words of the Lord that he heard so many times: "If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father." And Peter is thinking to himself, what have I done? But see, there's something that's missing here, and it's something that Luke shares with us. Luke shares us another part of the story as Peter denies the Lord and how broken he is as he hears the rooster crow. But to make it even matters, if you will, more powerful, after Peter denied, immediately when that rooster crowed, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him that he would deny him. The Lord looked at him. Peter looked at the Lord. In the distance, can you imagine that? Just think that. You're sitting there with the fire, maybe even watching the Lord, and then people interacting with you and telling you these things. And you know, you also walked with him and then denying him. And then when he swore a curse on himself, he looked up as the rooster crowed and the Lord looked at him. How'd the Lord look at him? See, it's really important for you to think this through, because when you sin, how does the Lord look at you? When you deny him, how does the Lord look at you? When you trip, when you fall, how does the Lord look at you? When you completely blow it, how does the Lord look at you? Because if you still don't see his loving eyes looking at you, it wasn't eyes of condemnation. It wasn't eyes. "Told you, Peter." That's what we would have done. "Told you. Didn't I?" It was the eyes of Peter. "I still love you, Peter." That's what breaks you up. I mean, if he was to yell and scream at you, that's what you expect. If he looked at you and said, "Done with you," that's what you expect, because that's the worth you feel of yourself. But please help us all to understand, what is it? It's the look of acceptance, of love, forgiveness. "You're worthy because I died for you." And "Peter, you're worthy because I'm going to die for you." How can I make that great assumption? Because see, when Jesus rose again from the dead, his angels said to the women, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." And Peter. Make sure Peter hears. And you know, in John 21, You know the setting. You know when Jesus is walking and Peter, do you love me? Three times he asked, do you love me? Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, take care of the others, Peter. Now look at your past failures. Let's go. Time to walk. It's that forgiveness. It's that understanding that brings really our faith to where it needs to be. It's a reality. A reality that when we partake of the world, when we say, Lord, you know what? You're not meeting my needs. I need to look elsewhere. That's when we don't really understand the true price that was paid, the fellowship that He desires, and the life He's called each of us to. When we take, again, allowing the world to tempt us with the if you will, the burger, the fries, that we think is going to be so good, and then we partake of it, and then like, really, the reality of our conscience and our guilt, and the shame, and the feeling of, again, what a sucker. That the enemy dangled that carrot in front of me and I took it. But then, again, the understanding that all it is just looking into that face, that wonderful face, and saying, Lord, forgive me. And we're forgiven. But understand this. He doesn't just say, no, go on. He says, now follow me. That will be the constant call to each of us. Now follow me. Let's go. Now, David, you know the story. Yeah, he sinned against Bathsheba and everything. But after he came to repentance, he wrote this psalm. And if you will, if you want to turn there, you can. It's Psalm 32. And it's a great way to conclude this. It really is. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. When David was in sin, this is the way he felt. Is groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle. Else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all who walk upright in heart. Notice that the horse and the mule is not supposed to have bits or bridles. Notice that he says, not to force, choose, follow. Isn't that the way the Lord is? Just follow. It's our choice. every day, every moment, everything I allow. Does this draw me near to the Lord or near to the world? Is this something that I can sit with and not affect me? Is this something that I should start cutting off and start cutting off quickly? Is this something that I should start embracing and start doing? Because ultimately, all of it, every action, think of it this way, every action we do as believers comes back to one single truth. Will you follow your Lord? That's it. And let His love surround you. Let His mercy surround you. Let His grace surround you. Let His joy surround you. Let His peace surround you. Let God be God. It's really the simpleness of it. Not to follow at a distance. Follow right up close. That's a choice for each of us. You pray it through. You ask the Lord, where is it that I am following you at a distance? What is it that I need to make changes in my life? And then to start looking at things that we're doing every day through His eyes and making a choice. Now remember, this isn't about perfection because that ain't happened until we're in heaven. This is about, again, just daily choices. And in the end of the day, understand something, each of us. He looks at us and says, okay, you going to hone up to it? Is make those counts short. Just pray forgiveness. There's been many times I've been on my knees like, something's wrong, what did I do? And I have to go back, oh. And all it is like, oh, I did do that, didn't I, Lord? Forgive me. And that's it. It's over. But just for Him to say, you know, I'm aware of something that you're still trying to smother over. Why does He do that? To make me feel guilty? No. The conscience to be sensitive to His Spirit. So I'm still pliable in His hands. And then He can wash it clean. So the enemy can't come back and say, because I'm His. He says, you are. So, again, what is it? You think it through. You pray it through. Let's pray. Lord, I just, again, thank You for Your kindness towards us. I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your love. And Lord, really, our desire as a church body is to go further and deeper in our relationship with You. Lord, there's so many ways that even as a church, we can compromise. We can compromise to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. We can compromise by just looking on the positive side of things constantly. But the reality is we desire to get in close to You so intimately that we hear Your voice, that just as David said, that Your eye would instruct us and teach us in the way we should go, and that You would guide us into all, again, Your truth. It doesn't take something to force us to do this. We desire to do it by choice and by love, Lord. Help us to be men and women that are followers after Jesus Christ. Help us to be men and women that follow hard after. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.